This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to make this statement to you and I want you to keep this thought in your mind, which is that in this life, only contributors are valued. I want to repeat that. In this life, only contributors are valued. On January 21st, 2010, a new exhibition opened in the London Science Museum called 1001 Inventions. That exhibition showcased Muslim inventors who were pushing back the boundaries of knowledge when Europe was in what historians who want to ignore Muslim history like to call the Dark Ages. The ages were dark in Europe, but they were not dark in the world. This exhibition ran in London until June 30th. That's about a few days over 6 months, 2010. And it then toured the world, and I saw this exhibition in Kuwait. My thought, as I saw this, I saw exhibit after exhibit. My thought, as I saw exhibit after exhibit, was, what happened? What happened? What happened that if we as Muslims could do all of this in the 9th century, why are we where we are today? If someone were to start a project to collect inventions by Muslim scientists in the 20th century, what would they find? How far do you think that project would go? As I mentioned in a previous khutbah of mine, from 1900 to 2010, only two Muslim scientists won the Nobel Prize for science, both in chemistry. Two scientists in 110 years. This is an exception which proves the rule that Muslim contribution is not what you would be looking for if you were looking for inventions in this century. As I said to you in that khutbah, if this was said about a people, about a community, about a people who never really achieved anything in their history, then you could understand that. If I told you that only two Muslim scientists won the Nobel Prize in science in the last 110 years, you would say, well, you know, so what, so remarkable. The Muslims never did anything anyway, right? Throughout the history of Islam, from the 7th century, from the time Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam presented Islam to the world till today, Muslims have never done anything anyway, so what is so surprising? But that's not true. That is not true. And this exhibition of 1001 inventions proves that that is not true. Muslims did huge things. They did an enormous amount of contribution to the world of science. But then it came to a halt. It came to a halt. The question is to ask why. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us why He sent us into this world. When He said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Allah said, you are indeed the best community that has ever been brought forth for the good of mankind. أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ Not minan nas. Allah did not say, I extracted you from people, from humankind. He did. He didn't talk about that. He said, I extracted you for the benefit of humankind. And you enjoin doing what is right and you forbid doing what is wrong and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He sent us to benefit the people. People appreciate those who are beneficial. It is as simple as that. People love those who give and they hate those who take. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to take from him and to give to the world. We forgot that. We forgot how. We forgot Allah. We forgot ourselves. My brothers and sisters, this is time to wake up and work. It's not only important to wake up, but to get out of bed. Lying in bed awake, as we seem to be doing today, is as useless as being asleep. We will not become world leaders by wishing that or by declaring that. Those who lead the world today, in whichever direction, they worked for it, they slogged for it, they suffered for it, they sacrificed for it. This is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, the past is past. No matter how much we may like to bask in reflected glory, let us understand and accept that the glory of those scientists or those ulama or those awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs to them. It does not reflect on us. If you find that difficult to understand and accept and don't want to let go of your warm, fuzzy feeling when you talk about Ibn Sina and others and say our people and you feel good about that, if you don't want to let go of this, if you don't want to face the fact that what Al-Biruni did or what Ibn Sina did or what all of them did belongs to them, it's not a reflection on us. If you don't want to believe that, then let me name for you some of the worst scoundrels in Islamic history and tell me if you would like to be associated with them and their deeds. Are you willing, and I'm not going to take the names of bad people or evil people, but you know many of the names and I know probably more. Are you and I willing to say about that person and say our people? We are not, right? So my submission to you is that if you don't want to associate yourself with the scoundrels of history, then you also cannot associate yourself with the heroes of history. You can look at them, you can admire them, you can take them as role models, but you have no right to feel good about what they did. If you want to feel good, you have to do something for yourself. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself, each person and each generation stands or falls by its own actions, not by the actions of its predecessors. Now, this is actually excellent news because it means that no matter what happened in the past, each person and each generation has a fresh chance to chart the path of their own destiny. The question is, are we, you and I, willing to take that chance? Remember that all we have is today, which is why today is so incredibly precious and important. Yesterday is gone. Today is here. And how tomorrow will be depends on what we choose to do or not to do today. The biggest game that Shaitan plays is to divert our attention from today, from the present. And either he gets us involved in the past or the future. We regret or gloat about the past, or we live in fear of the future. In the process, we waste the only time when we can actually make a difference. And that time is today. That time is now. If we want to regain what we had, that is global leadership, we must do the following things. Number one,
For change to happen, we must accept the need to change. So we must accept that we need to change and accept that we will need to work very hard to catch up and exceed what others are doing. Remember that there are only two kinds of people in the world, contributors and consumers. Only contributors are respected, they are followed, they are valued, they are looked up to. Consumers are manipulated and milked. They are the cattle of the world and are treated like cattle. It is our choice how we want to define ourselves. As Henry Ford is reported to have said, "If you say that you can or cannot do something, I accept it." The world will accept however we want to define ourselves and will treat us accordingly. What do we want that definition to be? Number two, change the way we educate. Change our education. Our education must follow the Quranic pattern that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined for us, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahari la'ayatin li ulil albab alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim wa yatafakkaruna fi khalqi samawati wal ard rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batilan subhanaka faqina 'adhaban nar." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the beautiful ayat al-karima of Surah Al-Ali Imran, number 190 and 191, "Verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the alternation of the night and the day, there are indeed signs, ayat, signs for people of understanding, for al-ulil albab, for people of understanding." And then Allah said, who are those? Allah described them. They are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always and in salah, standing, sitting and lying down on their sides, and they think deeply about the creation of the heavens and the earth, and they say, "Our Rabb, Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batilan subhanaka faqina adhaban nar." O our Rabb, you have not created all of this without purpose. All glory be to you, and exalted are you above all that they associate with you as partners, and save us from the fire. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us what we must teach and how we must teach that. The content and the process. First, we recognize Allah and we love Allah. Then we research in His creation. The result is that then we will see His signs in His creation, which reinforces our faith in Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Our decline started when we lost this connection and when we separated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His creation. We fractured and divided our schooling system into two distinct and separate, mutually exclusive streams. In one, we taught the book of Allah and the teachings of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam without any connection with the creation of Allah. We taught about Allah as if there is no creation. We focused exclusively on religious rituals and customs, the reading of the Quran, tajweed, memorizing the Quran, tahfiz, and on hadith and the extraction of religious laws, which is fiqh. Graduates from these institutions, our jamiat, our Darul Uloom, all the Darul Ulooms, and the Islamic universities, were not even introduced to the terms physics and chemistry and mathematics and biology, mostly not even to geography and history, though some cherry-picked history is taught more as entertaining stories to be mentioned in impassioned speeches. Right? Think about that. What kind of universities, what kind of education system, because it wasn't universities, what kind of education system produced the Ibn Sinas and the and the great inventors of Islam, of the Muslims, and what happened to that? Teaching cherry-picked history and our own strong allergy to critical analysis are signs of ignorance and cowardice, and they guarantee that we will never learn from our own history and that we will continue to repeat the mistakes that we have historically been doing again and again. We left the teaching of natural sciences, social sciences, technology, psychology, even languages to universities which are totally free from the name of God in any form. I included languages in this list because language is the window into the hearts of people. Language opens the door to cultures and is the means of influencing others. We don't teach them in our jamiat and darul ulooms. How strange is that? We talk about the importance of da'wah, but we don't equip our students with the basic means of communication of da'wah, which is the language of our audience. I'm not talking about the language of the Quran and the Sunnah. The tragedy is that many of our darul ulooms do not even teach Arabic as a language. They teach the Quran through translations, Urdu translations or English translations. They don't teach the original Quran al-Karim. The same thing with the Hadith to an even greater extent. But even if you are teaching Arabic, the point is that the language of your audience is not Arabic. It is something else. But we don't teach that. My brothers and sisters, the tragedy of this, in my view, is not only that we do all of this, but that its farcical nature doesn't strike us. We continue blindly, but at the same time we extol and applaud scientific inventions and discoveries made by Muslims 1,000 years ago. Now, how hypocritical is that? If we had followed the teaching methodology by that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to follow, our universities would have produced muttaqoon, who would have given the world cures to illnesses, advances in all kinds of areas of human endeavor, and they would have been known and valued and respected as contributors to human welfare, not merely as suckers for gold-plated wheel rims. Number three, start living Islam. My idea is not merely to sing to you a litany of lament, but to show the way forward. As I said in the beginning, no matter what happened, each generation has a chance to change. I request you to reflect and decide if you want to be the generation that is written in history as the one which fueled the turnaround, or do you want to remain as another one which was a casualty of our past? If you want to be the ones to drive change, to make Muslims the most beneficial and influential people in the world, then get ready for the long haul. I say beneficial and influential because one follows from the other. Only beneficial people are influential. To become influential, we must first become beneficial. The way to the heart is through the belly, figuratively speaking. Solve people's problems and they will listen to you and follow you. Number four, Islam is the name of a practice. It is not the name of a philosophy or theory. People are impressed by what they see and experience from us. Imam Az-Zuhri rahmatullahi alayhi said, Islam spread the fastest after Fatah Makkah because for the first time the non-Muslim was able to see the life of an ordinary Muslim up close. Ask, and I ask myself, how many non-Muslims see our lives and are impressed enough to form a positive opinion? That is the gist of all da'wah, to demonstrate the beauty of Islam, not talk about it. Demonstrate that, because people listen with their eyes. They do not care what you say until they see what you do. My brothers and sisters, we come to the last of my points. Number five, we must change our mindset of treating religion and science as two mutually exclusive things. A Muslim is a person and should be a person with a naturally scientific mindset, because we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our religion is based on knowledge with evidence, with dalil, and not on superstition and rumors. Science reinforces religion and enables us to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His creation, and increases our khashyat, the awe of Allah in our hearts, and increases our tawakkul, our reliance on Allah, provided we approach science through the root of khashyatullah. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقْعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Not before. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ. First recognize Allah, then investigate in the creation. This cannot happen if we separate scientific education from religious education. The two are linked. We separated them. We must put them back, and we must repair the damage that we have done. My brothers and sisters, the road ahead is long and hard, but the rewards are, inshallah, immense. Global leadership of the rule on hearts, not land. And the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, when we meet Him. It begins with living Islam in every aspect of our lives. It begins with fulfilling what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fard. Respecting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's boundaries. Staying out from everything which is doubtful. Learning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and following His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way, the sunnah, in everything in our lives. It extends to studying science and looking at the world through the lens of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam. Insha'Allahul Musta'an, if we do this, then we will be able to say, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم توفنا مسلما وألحقنا بالصالحين. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. وصلى الله على نبيه الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.